publicly that I thank the council for this opportunity, you know, so many preachers that preach to all kinds of things all around the country, and to allow me this opportunity, I don't take it lightly. Thank God for him, amen. Thank God for being here, and I just want to let him know, amen, that I love him, he's a good friend, and I look at him as a mentor, as a father, amen, amen. He is so knowledgeable, has so much wisdom and understanding of not only scripture, but in life in general, amen. So often, young preachers and young men don't have a mentor, amen. And so I'm proud to say that he is a mentor, a father, and a friend, amen. Amen. I told Pastor Price Church a couple of weeks ago, I said, ain't but two people I trust, amen. It's hard to trust people in ministry, amen, but I would literally trust him and Pastor Price. They are such an inspiration to me, amen. Amen. And I pray God's blessing on his life and his ministry, and that God will continue to use him in a miraculous way. Amen. Every time I talk to him, amen, if I'm on the phone with him 5 minutes, 3.5 minimum minutes, is all about Pleasant Green. That man talk about Pleasant Green so much. Y'all don't realize the magnitude of his love for you all. Amen. And every time he gets a chance, amen, Pleasant Green, Pleasant Green, Pleasant Green, Pleasant Green. Now I say, all right, I got you. But he's thinking about you all, amen, tremendously, amen. He speaks in a way that is unique for a pastor, amen. So many pastors, after probably about 5 years, the honeymoon is over. Amen. And some pastors regret, amen, the church that they pastor. Amen. Amen. They regret, amen, being where they are. But this pastor, amen, he do not look at Pleasant Green as a window. Amen. You know how you can look out the window and keep looking, and keep looking. You don't look at this church as a window, amen. Some people get churches and they just get them till they find something better. But it's not his mindset, amen. He love you all, and y'all know that, amen. I just have to say that, amen, amen. But I also want to say, before I say anything else, is that the magnitude of his responsibility down south, amen, is tremendous. Amen. The parish that he covers, amen, St. Landry Parish is one of the largest parishes in the state. St. Martin Parish, St. Landry Parish, and his job description, amen, requires him to be stretched wide, amen. And so I'm praying that God would continue to give him the strength, amen, to see about everybody else's problems, amen, amen. And so many murderers lurking in St. Landry Parish, the murder rate is skyrocketing, and your pastor has to investigate, amen, every single murder, amen, and try to help people, amen, get their loved ones home. And this multifarious of things I can't begin to discuss, amen. But it's a lot, amen, amen. And so we continue to pray for him, not only give him physical, amen, strength to continue, amen, and to protect him, amen, amen, on the highways and byways, amen. I know the feeling of being a truck driver with no CDL. Amen. He's a truck driver with no CDL. I did that for 3 years, and that woke me up, and I was 30, in my early 30s. So I could imagine, amen, being a truck driver with no CDL. Amen. Amen. summons your senses and invites your intellect to Jude. I want to look at this doxology. Amen. 24:25. Amen. I also want to thank, amen, the preachers of the Gospels. Amen. Attorney, Reverend Guillory. Amen. God bless him. And my brother. Amen. It's a burden and a blessing in preaching. Amen. Amen. Brother Aaron, Reverend Aaron. Amen. All right. I'm going to look at Jude. Amen. 24:25. King James Version simply says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Rest with the foul face away, but the word of our God shall stand forever."
Yeah, man, that's preaching right there.
I just want to talk about he's still keeping me. He's still. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Chris want to talk about he's still keeping me. This morning, brothers and sisters, there is something here in this book of Jude. When the Bible was being weighed by biblical scholars that canonized it, there were several books on the hit list that were to be excluded from the Bible. Are y'all listening? Jude was one of them. When one read the book of Jude, seemingly, if you don't have any rocks, gospel rocks in your pockets to weigh you down, if you don't really have any cement in your godly shoes, my brothers and sisters, seemingly, you will perhaps walk away more wounded than healed. This book of Jude is very confusing, for he violates most of the established laws of linguistics, and he annihilates systematic theology ridiculously. I wish I had a witness in here. He does what in Latin vernacular means to send God's thoughts into oblivion. We find, my brothers and sisters, this morning, it is difficult to digest the scattering ramifications of his thinking. It is difficult to understand what he is saying because we cannot systematically trace what he is saying. I want y'all to take the bricks off me this morning. Amen. We can get out here and go home. Amen. We learn in English and literature that in writing, everyone first, you must what? Have a thesis. That is what contains the subject matter. And secondly, you must have a synthesis. That is what stands in agreement with the subject matter. And not only must you have a thesis, a synthesis, but you must have an antithesis, because antithesis, it investigates the wrong, the subject matter. In other words, my brothers and sisters, Jude, you will discover nothing about what he cares about, this grammatical violation of the law. Amen. He has no thesis. thesis, for he appears to have nothing to establish. He has no synthesis because he seems to agree with nothing in particular. And then he has no antithesis because he does not have anything in particular against anything that he is saying. What I'm saying in a nutshell, my brothers and sisters, is we know little about Jude. Except that he is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right.
The brother of James.
Yeah.
The first thing we notice in Jude, it is that it is quite an uncomfortable position for him to be in.
Yeah.
As this writer. He is jammed between the law, the book of John's, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And then we see that he is sandwiched between the judgment seat of the book of Revelations.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, he only has one chapter, so he makes every lick count.
Yes, sir.
He does not have the length and breadth of Isaiah.
No.
Yeah.
He has one shot, and he must make this shot count.
Yes.
When we examine his writing, you will find that he is scattery. Somewhat like Ezekiel. He starts off in verse 2 talking about grace and mercy. In verse 3, he jumps from the attributes of God and starts dealing with what psychologists call a metaphysical realm of pluralistic thinking. And not only does he deal with this pluralistic thinking, but which simply means that he is tying up our thoughts so that he can get his thoughts through. In verse 4, he talks about false prophet and lasciviousness. In verse 5, he talks about the land of Egypt. He jumps from scattered situations. He then jumps out of Egypt, and then he leaves holding us holding the bag of Egyptiology. And then not only does Egypt deals with...
For listening to the radio broadcast with Pastor Michael H. Barnes. We pray his words of hope bless you and lifted you up. Come and visit us on the road to Frank O'Hanna Park in Alexandria, Louisiana. Join us on Sundays for Sunday school at 8 a.m. Until our next broadcast, we are moving from membership to discipleship.